Penny Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, hello, and welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade. I'm Moe, and this is the Paisley Penny Arcade. Use your imagination. I do. Every day, for probably most of the day. And, all the time. So, how are ya? Welcome. Welcome. And, if you're listening on the radio, welcome. If you're watching on YouTube, live, howdy, come on in. Quelly's in the chat room, Terry's in the chat room, I welcome you. Come on in. All you have to do is go to YouTube at moabdelbaki.com, and I'll be there. And today's going to have lots of visual aids. So if you can watch, you should watch, because it's going to be a lot of fun. I guarantee, as Justin Wilson used to say. I lived in Louisiana. Yes, there were people who talked like that, or spoke like that, or had that accent. So come on in. Today's going to be a fun day. It's going to be an interesting topic, I think, for all of you. Today, first of all, is the 20th of August. Yeah, I got it. Today is the 20th of August, 2025. It is Wednesday, and we're starting off, I guess, with a bit of a bang. I feel, you know, that that's going well so far. Lots going on in the world, isn't it? Sure, a lot going on, seems to me, in the world. And what the heck? You know, what the heck? They don't ask me, and I'm glad they don't ask me, because I wouldn't have any answers other than grow up and settle down, simmer down, relax, take your shoes off, put your feet up, have a cup of tea. Think about the humanity. People aren't doing so hot out there, you know? They're not doing as well as they could be doing. So, you know, let's take some time. Let's take some time. Now, for the next, 55 minutes or so, we're going to talk about a subject that I think is absolutely fascinating, and that is, why do we have to be at the mercy of everybody else when it comes to talking about the meanings of cards? Do we have to be? No, we don't have to be. We don't have to be at all. Let's go ahead and talk about what's really important to us. Pardon my nose scratch. Allergies. Oh, they are everywhere, and 'tis the season to be sniffing. The city that I live in their infinite wisdom, decided to plant ragweed in back of my house. So they planted tons and tons of ragweed. And of course, that is just a wonderful thing. So I shan't complain. I shall just sniffle a bit. So pardon me, if you will. Actually, if you don't mind, I will grab the ubiquitous... here I have some right here. A tissue. Oh, isn't that the great thing about live streaming? Watch me. I won't honk. Maybe a little later I will honk. Just to let you know that I can. I can and I shall. So let's talk about this for a second. I know that many of you are fascinated with the idea of divination. And you may try different forms, I Ching, Tarot, astrology, so on and so forth. And one of the things that we are thrust into are meanings. And meanings are important. I mean, we all have to deal with the meanings as they are given to us. So we are given cards, and we are given this and that. And so we look at the meanings of a card. Here's an example. Here is a very famous deck, the Lenormand deck. And maybe many of you are familiar with this particular deck. I've had this deck for decades. And Madame Marie Antoinette, I believe was her name, Lenormand, may have been real, may not have been real. There is conjecture. And I've had this deck for a long time in the little LWB. The Little White Book, as it's known. And in this book are meanings. And they're abbreviated. They're not very complete. But so you have this deck, and you have cards. And there's a ship. And there is, I can't quite see it. There's, the moon. And there's a flail. And there's a letter. And the LWB, the Little White Book, gives you meanings for these cards. And so you read this and you say, okay, well, I have to know these meanings, lilies and star and tower and so on. And so then they give you a spread, and you spend your time trying to learn the meanings of these things and trying to figure out how to do the readings. And we do that. We all did that. We put these little cards out and we try to read for people, and we say, okay, there's a house, and a house means whatever that means, and here's the egret, and it's eating a frog, and it's a crane, and oh God, there's a coffin, oh God, there's a coffin, and there's the sun, and so on and so forth. And there's a book, and there's a mouse, and that's a thief, and there's a dog, and that's loyalty, and there's a man, he's reading a letter, and there's a snake, and oh my, you know. So you look at these, and it's one of those things where we are relying upon other people for these meanings. Now, I don't know that there's necessarily anything wrong with that in the beginning. And you do readings, and you say, okay, how did that go? And for the most part, you know, it did okay. But eventually, you begin to pick up other meanings as you go along. I'm going to put the Lenormands back. Now, there are lots of cards. One day, I was bored, as we all get bored, and I started looking around, and I decided, you know, I've seen those cards. The cards that, the La Loteria cards. Kind of a Mexican form of bingo, car bingo, or just bingo. It's like a game of matching, you know. And there was even a game show on TV that I loved watching. It was just wonderful fun, and then they canceled it. And La Loteria, and I thought, man, I'm interested if anyone reads those. Sure enough, I found a site where they talked about La Loteria cards. And the cards are fascinating to look at. There's, El Diablo and all sorts of cards. And I thought maybe it would be fun to start reading those cards. And indeed, there are people who read the cards and they have meanings. And I thought, this is cool. But I thought maybe I would put some meanings myself to them. And then I found out about Kipper cards. Now, I'm going to talk about Kipper cards one day, so hang tight, because that's going to be something that we discuss. Fascinating subject, Kipper cards. And if you've never heard of them before, hang in there. That'll be something kind of fun to discuss, Kipper cards. I certainly enjoy them. And I even designed my own deck of Kipper cards. And these I just did for me. This is the psychedelic Kipper deck, just because I thought it would be fun to have psychedelic cards. And here's the the back of the psychedelic Kipper deck is Vanity. Of course, my name is me. But as you can see, I drew a version of me if I hadn't cut my hair. And this is an alternate universe where it's me in a sort of paisley world. The old being thing that hippies, old hippies never die. They just turn into paisleys. And I'm hoping that's true. So there I am. So this deck is, in fact, psychedelic. And all the cards are very shiny, and all the cards are indeed, you pick any one, and they're bright, and they are, I don't know if you can see what that is. It's hard to, because they're so bright. Ooh, wow, that's trippy. I'm getting a reflection there. That's you can't see that very well. It's a bat. It's a cool card, if I do say so myself, and I think I will. See when that might show. But this is a Kipper deck, and I will talk about that. I'm sure many of you are going to start, if you know, looking up. There's a scarab, but this is my design as opposed to a typical Kipper deck design. Here's my death card. I don't know if you can see what that is. That's a Nile crocodile done psychedelically. So the point is that we get to do what we want to do. Pardon me. And we should do that. But not many people do. Not many people do their own thing when it comes to divination or just these arts in general. Why? Because they are boxed in, and I don't think we should be boxed in. I think that we should do our own thing. I think that we should use our creativity, and we should use our imagination. Imagination is not used so much anymore. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of a transformation deck. I have one somewhere. That's my story, the story of my life. Somewhere in my office here, I have a transformation deck. You should look it up. Look it up on the Google or whatever you use. There is a thing called a transformation deck. They're quite popular and have been popular for a long time. And what they are decks where they have the pips represent other things. So, for example, the pips are like a diamond may make up a body of a bug, and so on and so forth. And so everything is something. So I got to thinking about it. I mean, you've heard of cartomancy, right? Cartomancy. Cartomancy is a lot of fun, and that's just using regular playing cards for doing divination. And the first cards that I ever marked up were in fact regular playing cards. I drew pictures on them, mostly skulls and that sort of thing. There was six or seven. And I drew little drawings upon them in order to do readings. I think I saw Tarot Deck on Alcoa Presents or One Step Beyond, something to that effect. And the whole thing was about, I was smitten by the whole idea. The whole idea of divination. So I went to Walgreens, as I recall, and they had a bin with playing cards in them for 10 cents each. And they were bridge size. I like poker size cards now. But I bought a deck and just started scribbling pictures on them. And ta-da, there it was. So that was that, as we say, that was that. And so I began putting pictures in my head to what these cards were, and I would draw little symbols. And at first it was pretty fancy, and then I got tired of it because it was a lot of hard work. But eventually, through the years, and through some little mnemonics that I used, the cards came to represent things. Things. I don't know how else to put it. So the Seven of Spades came to represent a very chaotic situation to me. And it just did. Very, very chaotic situation. And so in reading, I would see this chaotic situation. The Queen of Clubs was someone very much like Ella Fitzgerald to me. And so on and so forth. And it became a real, it's quite fascinating. The Four of Hearts reminded me of me playing my ukulele. Just did. So over the years, these things, this Two of Clubs, I came to equate with Frankenstein's monster, right? Caliban. Why? Well, because these reminded me of the bolt sticking out of his neck in the movies, not in the book by Shelley, and it always was like, oh, well, that's quite fascinating. So what we have in the cards is you can use, if you do your own thing, and I'm going to show you, I actually created an entire deck of a transformation deck that is my deck for divination, if you wanted to use it for such. I never printed it. It's not available. But I thought I'd show you some of the cards today, because although it's not printed, I have the drawings that I did. And with this new medium, this vision thing, this television thing that we have going here, I can actually show them to you. So I'll show you some in a little bit. But I want to get this idea across. That if you don't have to draw them out, but if you just go through and you think about some of the thoughts you have looking at a card, and it's not easy, but in these arts, they're not necessarily meant to be easy. They're meant to be challenging, because the work we do with them is not necessarily meant to be simple, and the work is important. And I think that's very vital, is that the work is meant to be very important. Don't you agree? When we're dealing with people and you know, you may never read for anybody, but if you have a question, if you have a question and you say, okay, I have a question about so-and-so, and you ask about so-and-so, and you say, okay, I was just asking about someone who happened to be female, and I got the Queen of Spades. And that happens to be someone who is, you know, rather not overly emotive. Someone who might be rather, you know, not cold, but also not overly warm and so on and so forth. We all think that about the Queen of Spades, don't we? Or if you ask about how will a certain situation turn out and you turn over the Queen of Diamonds, you know? Well, we kind of have a thought about that, don't we? Do you have a thought about the Queen of Diamonds? How do you feel about the Queen of Diamonds? Is that someone that you're going to be able to sidle up to and get something out of, you know? I mean, okay, let's see. Certain situation here I have in my mind. The Jack of Hearts. Jack of Hearts can be a softie. I based my thought of the Jack of Hearts on a fellow I knew in college. He was a sweetheart. He really was a sweetheart. He's no longer with us, unfortunately. But he was a fellow who played he was a member of the SCA, Society for Creative Academisms, and he was a knight. And boy, he was a knight. He was a man of honor, and he would dress up in armor, such as it was, you know, with propane tanks that had been cut, and, you know, and he'd wear it on his head, and he'd beat the heck out of other people with rattan swords, and they'd beat him up with their rattan swords, and it was really something. But he was heart, yeah. And so don't be afraid to go through and pattern, you know, the royalty cards after people you know. people you know. The Ten of Clubs, based on twins, that I used to see in junior high school and high school, who never spoke, who dressed alike except mirror opposites. You know, a mole here, the other one had the mole on this side, and they were just very glued together when they weren't in different classes. And there was something quite odd about them. I mean, they seemed, I always wanted to get to know them because there seemed something quite interesting about them. But it was like, okay, but they would hang out together and they were fascinating guys. So you go through and you have to decide your system. I can't tell you what to do or how to do it. That's really up to you. Oh, by the way, if you want to talk to me in the chat room, you can go ahead. I'm looking at it every now and then. I'm trying to develop new skills. I think, you know, maybe I can do that. Well, you can pick a card. No, don't do that. But these can be an incredible tool. And you can make it your tool. See? Your tool. Not someone else's tool. The same is true of Tarot. We have a deck of cards, right? We have a deck of cards. I'll put these away because they're slippery. And if they fall, well, I'll have to pick them up. And you know how annoying that is. Do you ever have anyone pull the old, hey, you know how to play 52 pickup? And they all over the place. And you're supposed to pick them up. They do it with your cards, of course. And so you have to pick them up. And you think to yourself, I'll remember this person. Not fondly. Here is my Aleister Crowley Thoth deck that I've used for decades. So you get a deck of tarot cards, and you're given this, right? The Prince of Swords. And you have to figure out, what does that mean? Who is this guy? Well, to me, he's a workaholic. You know, I mean, he's really, you know, and those are all aspects of him. So not only is he a workaholic, but he drives himself relentlessly. And you can go on from there. But if you look in, and then you learn more about Crowley, and you know, you go from there. But here is the nine of discs, gain. And you're reading a book, and it tells you something, and you learn about him, and it tells you some other stuff that you might not want to know. And you read, this is about, but it's more than just about gain. But you read, and so you read it as, okay, things are going well, I'm going to gain something. But you look at it, and you say, I see some more in here. I see about a connection between people. I see about people coming together. I see communication. I see good things coming together. And I think that's the most important thing, is that it's about what you see, and it's not about some group that's going to say, excuse me, you didn't mention this, nor this, nor this. Give me your cards. You don't get to use them. No. This is not how it goes. You get to use them, and you get to talk about them, and you get to elucidate, and you get to, because everything you're doing is about you. It's about you. And it's about your skills, and it's about your skills getting better all the time. You see, that really is what it's about. It's about your skills getting better all the time. And it's very important that you utilize these skills. So back to the card thing. I'll put these away because these are so old they might break. And I don't want that to happen. Put them in this tapestry crocheted bag. Yeah, I made this. I get on these kicks. I woke up one morning and decided I wanted to learn to crochet. And then I woke up one morning a year later and decided I wanted to learn to knit. I exhaust myself, but more than that, I exhaust the people around me. So And that would be my wife. The A on this cup, it might stand for Abdelbaki. She thinks it stands for something else. Excuse me. Anyway, so let's talk about cards. There is great joy in just reading cards. And I said it's not easy, but it's not impossible, and it's not really all that hard if you're willing to put a little bit of work into it. And the amount of work that you put into it will pay you back more than you can imagine. I guarantee it. I really do. Because you can be sitting down, you can be sitting somewhere, like in a car dealership, waiting for your oil to be changed with a deck of cards. You can be in the middle of playing solitaire, which is considered pretty antisocial in public. But you can do it. I do other things. You know what bugs people? Let me tell you what bugs people more than anything else you can do. You know what it is? This. Running beads. Now, those of you listening to the radio, please don't feel upset about my doing all this audiovisual stuff. You can bop over to YouTube and watch this. It's going to be there. It's going to be there for a long time. Maybe even long after I'm gone. So you can see it. You can see these wonderful visual aids. Wink, 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 wink. I think they're pretty. There's some of them are going to be okay, I think so. But people freak out when you run beads. They just freak out because they're used to the concept of the religious aspect of running beads, you know, like people rosaries and you know, malas. And I have rosaries, and I don't have rosaries, but I have malas. And these are beads my mother gave me a very long time ago. And I had to restring them, but they're fine. And, you know, they mean something to me. But when you sit down and you meditate in a waiting room and you close your eyes, and every now and then you go, money, 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 or whatever you do. It doesn't matter what you do. You know, you just, it doesn't matter. They're going to get your car out of there so fast because they just want you gone, because people get so nervous. Or you walk in with these, something like this. Yeah. Yep. You walk in with something like this around your neck. Yep. And then you take these off. Oh, yeah. Take these off. And you've been running them. You're going to get that oil change. It's going to be like taking it to one of those Jiffy places, you know. And they want you out of there. They want you out. Trust me. So there's your handy hint for today. Okay? There's your handy hint for today. Or you really want to screw people up? You take a watch that obviously is not working. Okay? This just doesn't... Wait a minute. This way. You don't have a battery. It doesn't have a battery in it. So you just show them and you say, by the way... And you look at the watch, and it's obviously not showing anything, not working. Say, okay, so my watch says, you look at them, you'll be done by this time? And they'll just, yeah, sure, you know. Don't be afraid to make a little scene. You know, it's okay. Be a little weird. I enjoy weirdness. I do. I enjoy it a lot. Okay, so I'm going to show you now some of the cards that I created. Probably too many of them, but this is what I'm doing here is with a new program, and so I'm playing with it. So I just got to playing with it and thought, oh, this is just a ton of fun. So here's one, The first one here is, there we go. That's the Eight of Clubs. And as you can see, the clubs are actually, I don't know if you can see it real well, but those are little scarabs crawling all over the archaeologist who is in a tomb, you know. And so that's that. And so for me, the Eight of Clubs has a specific meaning. Now, if you were to get this deck, and I'm not selling anything because they're not, it's not available. I never had it printed up. But I have the drawings because I drew them. But you could do your own meaning. You could do your own meaning. But he's oblivious to the fact that he's covered with these scarabs, you see. So you could say, okay, what would this mean to me? What would this imply to me? So it's just that simple. Here's the Eight of Spades. And so it means something to me. Well, obviously what it means to me is... a dangerous situation, yes. It's one of those things at the circus or at the, you know, show where they spin the lady around and the guy throws knives. But in this case, spades, Eight of Spades. So, but the truth is, those things are never as dangerous as they appear to be, unless, you know, unless. So there's a modicum of danger there. So people always... think things are worse off than they are, but sometimes they are more dangerous than they think, like in the last card. Here's one. Oh, my Three of Diamonds. Three of Diamonds. Obviously, that's how I feel about the Three of Diamonds. So you have to make your own decision there of what that means to you. I think that kind of says it all, don't you? Talk amongst yourself. I'm going to have a drink of tea here. Oh, I should be explaining this. For those of you on the radio, it's a Nosferatu. It's a vampire. And the three diamonds are blotches of blood on his lapel that are forming the diamonds. The one before was a lady on a circular thing with a target, and the eight spades were knives around her. And the first one... was an archaeologist in a tomb with clubs were scarabs crawling on him. Hop onto YouTube, and you can see them at a later date. The next card here is the Ten of Diamonds, and this is to me tradition. The Ten of Diamonds has always felt like a very traditional card. Why? Because it's the ultimate of wealth. So here we see, and I'm Egyptian ancestry. My parents came from Egypt. I've been a couple of times. And I always, there's something about it to me. And so these are very traditional garbed Egyptian musicians and a snake handler. And they have... snake handlers. That's what they do. Pardon me. And the ten diamonds are the serpent. And he's about to grab the serpent, which is part of the act. These guys are pretty good at what they do. They actually have a great Craig con over there, I think. It's just a way of making a living. Every village has a snake guy. And what the snake guy does is he goes to your house about three times a year or so, and he lets loose snakes into your house through the back door, the back window, when you're not looking. And he comes around to the front and he says, by the way, I just happened to see a snake in your house. And you know that you got to get out right away. And he goes in, and he knows how many he let loose, and so he goes in, and he catches all the snakes, and he puts them in the snake bags, and so on. He comes out, and you pay him an amount of money. Now, that seems really unreasonable, but that's a grift that's been going on since, pharaonic times. And that's how he makes a living. And when you really need him, when there is an incredibly dangerous snake around there, well, he'll come get it for you. Cobra, the lasp, or whatever is going on. And that's how he makes a living, and you want him around. So you do it willingly. You just know that this guy is going to do this. So you keep the money kind of around, you know. You say, okay, this is for the snake handler when he comes in and he lets loose these incredibly venomous, dangerous serpents in our house. And that way when we really need him. But this is about tradition. This is about, and I don't know, you can, you know, it could be whatever you want. It could be about ICE agents coming to your house. It's up to you. This is the Eight of Diamonds. This, if you're of a like mind, or if you're, it could be about happy memories at the circus, or how much you love clowns. It's for those of you who are not seeing this. It's about there's a clown with a big grin on his face, and on his hands and his teeth and two eyes, and on his hat there are diamonds, making up eight of them. In actuality, he's creepy looking, which is how I designed it. Not everyone is a great fan of clowns. And this is not the happiest, creepiest clown. But for some reason, the Eight of Diamonds has always kind of given me the willies. And I don't know why. So, and it's, you don't have to question it. When you design, you just do. Just do, and then doodly-doo, and dooby-doo, and Scooby-Doo, and so on and so forth. You know, you just do your own song. So, and you, if you were to get a deck like this, a transformation deck, and you could do this card kind of, you know, puts you in a corner, but you could do whatever you wanted to do. So, for example, this card. Here's a guy in a bar, five of diamonds, and the diamonds are glasses in his drink. And he's a tall guy with glasses, drinking out of a glass, and the five ice cubes in his drink are diamonds, and he's drinking with a rabbit, a big, tall, white rabbit. And in the background, there's some guy photobombing. The guy has a beard and glasses, and he seems pretty tacky to me, in a place called Charlie's Bar. And so make that up whatever you want. It's about drinking. No matter what it is, you make up the story. And that's what I'm trying to get at here. You make up your story. Here's the Five of Hearts. Not a nice guy. He's smashing five hearts, stomping on them and smashing them with his big, thick cane. Kapow, kapow, kapow. Why does the Five of Hearts do that? Well, that's partially from my knowledge of Tarot, because in the Tarot, fives are always the most difficult part of the suit. They're the difficulty of the suit. Why? Because on the Tree of Life, five is ruled by Mars, right? You go from the stability of Jupiter in the fours to the difficulty of Mars in the five. And then you go to the perfection of the suit in the sixes, which is ruled by the sun. But that's for another time. Don't you agree? I think that should be another time. So there's the five. Not so much a happy, easy place to be. Wouldn't you agree? So that's my five. And so when I'm doing cards, and I do cards just, you know, like I said, you're in the car dealership, and you look over and you see a guy, right? And he's sitting there, and you're going, I wonder what type of guy he is. When he's sober, you know, you pick a card, and it's the Five of Hearts, and you go, okie dokie, I got it now. I was talking about the Two of Clubs earlier. There it is. There's the Frankenstein's monster, and I have a completely different take on, not different, but it's my take on the concept of Frankenstein and the story and his poor creation. I don't dislike the creation at all. I feel very sorry for the creation. Why? Because it wasn't his fault. He was created. He was created, and he was abandoned. He was abandoned. In the book, I mean, it's a terrible story. It really is a very sad story, and he's incredibly intelligent. He learns different languages, you know. But here's the movie version of him. And so that's the Two of Clubs right there. Okay. So you go from there. Well, how do you feel about him? Is he scary? If he's scary, then that's up to you. And that's the key. You get to be the one who decides, is he scary? Is he not scary? That's your choice, and you should be the one to decide that. Okay? Ah, one of my favorites, the Four of Diamonds. Talent, to me. See? Talent. There's talent there. That's, and the ones listening in the audience, in the radio, the Four Diamonds are microphones. Microphones. And there's a lady, and she's just singing her lungs out to those four microphones. And I just, there's something about that card that really just gets me. It's just about, yeah, belt it out. It's all right there, you know. Absolutely. There it is. There you are. So, and you could make this of what you want. It could be about just about anything, right? And that's, once again, it's what you want it to be. Ah, the Five of Clubs. The Five of Clubs. Well, here we are. This is Pagliacci, right? Pagliacci. And of course, here is this clown on the stage singing opera, you know. And I love opera. Make no mistake about it. I love opera. I like ballet more. I will be perfectly honest about that. But I do like opera as well. And he's banging his drum, and he's just crying up a storm, and he's not a happy guy. And the five clubs are, there's two in his hand, his eyes, his mouth, and there's a fifth one there somewhere. One, two, three, four. Oh, no, and his mouth, that's five. And he's just, you know, on stage kneeling and just belting it out. So what does this mean to you? I know what it means to me, but it doesn't matter what it means to me. It's what does it mean to you? If you were to, you know, so when I see the Five of Clubs, and it depends upon the situation too, right? Because here's a guy, he's up on stage, he's eliciting emotion from an audience. You know, it's said that some people would weep when they watch Pagliacci, you know? Ridi Pagliaccio, you know? Cry clown, or laugh clown, laugh. And instead, this guy's up there singing, bellerin, as Homer and Jethro put it, and crying at the same time. And he's just doing this incredible thing. And you've got to say to yourself, but he's an actor. He's an actor. He's a singer. This is something he does a lot of. And so the question is, in real life, how does that pertain to the moment? How does that really, what is being told? And that's the key to all of these, because you're telling stories, you see, whether you're using tarot or whether you're using a chart. Doesn't matter, really, does it? Does it? Oh, Terry said imagination, Mo, and absolutely. Hello. Hi, Renee. Hi, good to see you. It is. It's the imagination. You've got to have imagination to... You need to have imagination. Yeah. I saw a ghost when I was six. Six, I think it was. I'm going to tell that story in full around Halloween. Yes, I am. And my parents eventually took me to the doctor, and he said, your son has an imagination. But I was able to prove to my father later that it was the truth. And he said, we're not going to tell your mother about this, and we didn't. Here, the Six of Clubs, another one of my favorites. It's, for those of you listening, it's Santa Claus standing next to his sleigh. He looks a little bit perplexed, like he's trying to figure something out, because in the sleigh is a cross made out of the six clubs. So it to me, this has a lot of meaning. I think of Nietzsche when I think of this. You know, he's like looking at it going, whoa, wait a minute. And so the meaning involved here is really, once again, up to you. Up to you. It's up to you what you think about it. It's up to you how you sense it. It's up to you what you're going to do with it. But to me, it has a lot of different meanings in different situations. And so it becomes something that you get to kind of mess with. You know, you get to deal with. Is it skepticism? Is it saying, there's a dilemma here. Which is it? Is it about reality? Is it about, do you get it? Do you get the, you see what I'm saying? You probably do. This is the Seven of Diamonds. I love this card too. The Seven of Diamonds always seemed to have something behind it that was bigger than its sum of its parts. There's something more about it. This is actually based on W.C. Fields, who was, of course, a great actor and comedian of the 30s. He was also a chronic alcoholic and died of cirrhosis of the liver. But W.C. Fields was, unbeknownst to many, many people, one of the best jugglers of his generation. He was an incredible juggler. And he was in a movie, I don't remember which one, where he does an act like this with cigar boxes, very similar to this. I saw it for the first time. And it was it The Great McGonagall? Might have been. McGonagall. Might have been. Blew me away. Absolutely floored me. And I thought this guy was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant, because here's this fella who tippled constantly, drank like a fish, actually. I mean, he was a real alcoholic, and yet here he did, so that was the epitome for me, was just this kind of image of someone that you could see stumbling around, talking like, hey, that sort of thing. But he had the ability and skill. He was a pool shark, too. He could do amazing things on the pool table. He actually had a trick pool table that he traveled with, and he did in his act. He was quite a fellow. Very interesting. William Claude Duncanfeld. If you don't know who W.C. Fields was, well worth your time. So for those of you on the radio, it's a man dressed in white who is balancing diamonds. Seven of Hearts. Here is a tree with six hearts on it and a hippie standing in front of it, flashing the peace sign and offering you his heart. Well, you can tell me. How does that make you feel? That's how the Seven of Hearts makes me feel. Now, there is some tarot involved in that, because the sevens are ruled by Venus on the Tree of Life, and hearts are, so there's a sincerity behind this card. I've always felt that the Seven of Hearts was very sincere, and so I think that is one of the things that I'm feeling with this, is a sort of sincerity there, a feeling of so you can do whatever you want to with that, and I think that's part of it as well. I'm really urging you to use your imaginations in anything you do, and to create your own stories. This could be about, you just wander up on this guy and he offers you this heart. Do you take it or not? Do you take it or not? Pardon me. It's up to you. Do you? I mean, you have to, that's a good thing to do. Create a story on every card that you have. Do you create it? Do you take it or not? Oh, remember I said that the seven of spades was chaos? That's this one. Learn to dance. It's easy. Does this look easy to you? And that's, for those of you listening strictly on the radio, it's just a dance map. And it's ridiculous, because the spades are laid out on the floor and the numbers are impossible to follow. It's just ridiculous. So it says, learn dance. It's easy. And there's nothing easy about the plans here. This is actually based, this idea of turning it into dance, on a friend of mine who I knew from third grade on through high school, who was the funniest dancer I ever met. He actually danced like this. He would dance around, looked like he was going to fall over on the dance floor, and he would slap his hands the whole time. He was just unbelievable. Oh, the Ten of Hearts. Oh, don't you love this guy? He's so bashful and so kind and so sweet. Everybody loves him. Everybody loves him. Okay, last one, I promise. The Ace of Clubs. Everyone likes a sorcerer, right? Everyone likes a sorcerer. And as a bit of homage to the magician, you can look at his belt there. This is a sorcerer, for those of you listening, with a giant club in back of him. And his hands are like, you know, glowing. And he's got a rope around his waist with the lemniscate forming the knot. The symbol for the eternity. And you get to decide what this is. Who is this? What's it about? This is all you, you know. This is all you. This is the imagination at work. And if you just take some time to look at your... You do this with Tarot. Who is the magician? What is the magician? What is the magus? What does it mean? What is the power behind it? So, how do you create it? What is it about? You get to decide what the real situation is. What is it all? That's you. You get to be the one who does it. This is, man, how much fun is it? Okay, I'll get out of this because it's, you know, kind of showy and... You know, but more than that, I had such fun doing it, and you're the first people to see it ever, because I haven't published it or anything else. So there you are. It's my honor to show it to you. You're probably thinking, God, you know, this guy, what's wrong with this guy? But it was my fun to show it to you. I've done other things. I've done other decks. This mind doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. I knitted this thing. You know, this little coin purse. Figured out how to do this, and you know, you reach in and you pull out these pieces of metal that I don't know what to do with them anymore. You know, they're just pieces of metal, and what are you going to do with them anymore? I don't know. I'm not going to get rid of them. I'm not going to take them. And I believe in them still. I guess you can, I don't know. You have to have things. There are things that are important. Here's something that's important. You know what this is? No, it's not that. This, my friends, is a nose flute. Now you know. How many people do you know have a nose flute on their desk? Or a kazoo? I could have done more, but I believe that less is not enough. Or, how about this? A genuine... So weird. Oscar Mayer Wiener whistle. Weenie whistle, I should say. Huh? Yes, my development stopped somewhere. Right around 9, maybe 12, 15 at the most. Oh. A holdover from my days as Mighty Mo the Yo-Yo Pro. Yeah, well, that's a pro-yo right there. Here's the one of the ones I used when I was actually doing it. See, this is dangerous. These are all on my desk. This is a yo-yo that I used to use when I performed. That's right there. All this on my desk. Why is it on my desk? Because it's not somewhere else. That's why. Yeah, that's right. Somewhere I have my card here, my Mighty Mo the Yo-Yo Pro card. Yes, there's something wrong with me. Make no mistake, there is something wrong with me. All right. Well, I think I've about done it for this week. I hope you've got some ideas and a little bit of encouragement. So go ahead and have fun. If you remember, if it's not fun, don't do it. I mean, you know, like I said, there may be something truly wrong with me. So do have your fun and get out there and enjoy, okay? I mean it. Have a good time, and remember, just keep at it. All right? Now, until next week, I wish you all peace and love. All right?
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.